You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
Hare Krishna, we are Radio Mayapur, linked to your heart, traveling throughout the world with the song as Manaswami. Today we are in Adelaide, Australia. And we are very, very fortunate to have with us Adipurusha Das Prabhu, who is the temple president of Adelaide for many, many years. He was born in Malaysia in 1947. He studied and was living in Telek, Intan. He studied medicine, became a doctor, and joined the Hare Krishna in 1986. So, Adipurusha Prabhu, please tell us, what was your life before you met the devotees?
Hare Krishna, Ganga Prabhu. I like to recall that I met Ganga Prabhu many years ago in Malaysia when he came with Guru Maharaj.
Which year it was? That was 85 or something?
Must be about 88, 89, something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's after my... So anyway, I come from a semi-Orthodox family, which means...
Hindu family.
Hindu family, but yes. I'm South Indian origin. I'm Tamil by origin.
Okay.
So we have, of course, Deva worship and all that. But then again, we, vegetarian for a few days. In my house, it was Friday and Tuesday.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything goes. So that kind of a thing. So, but still, I had strong faith in religion. But in my town, there used to be a Kartikeya festival. It's called Chitra Paurnami. In South India, people will know this festival. And I was always mesmerized by the festival. So as a doctor, then I wanted to see how these things are being done. And I went to the riverside where they
prepare get themselves.
Prepare themselves, get it on.
These are the people who put nail through their tongue.
That's right.
They put hook in the back, okay. They carry all kinds. Well, it's weird. I never understood this philosophy or this type of stunts or... But they look like they're not suffering, they're not painful. I don't know what they do. They put some ashes. I don't know. You can tell us.
So, but the point is, but before they actually get into the trance, I saw them drinking so much of alcohol.
Oh.
And also they were smoking cigars it did not make sense. I thought what I was told was that Lord Muruga descends on them. Mm. But I'm only seeing alcohol descending into them. And... I was actually, when I saw all this, when as a small kid, I have not seen it. As an adult, when I saw that with my medical mind, I detested it. And I thought, no, this is cheating.
Fake,
some cheating is going on here.
Yeah.
So I go about. Then the other thing that happened in my life was that there were a lot of young people, Indians, Tamils, who were in the plantation industry. They used to come, men and girls, boys and girls. Mm. Because of love failure, taking insecticide to kill themselves.
Oh, my God.
So you'll come in the emergency, you see, practically every day, young Indians being brought to the emergency, almost dying.
Love story gone wrong?
Because of love story. But the gone wrong here, actually, initially I didn't understand, is because of different caste.
Oh, okay. So they could not marry the person they loved.
Because the parents
would not agree.
The parents. But though, actually, look at them sociologically, they are similar in just working people, working class people.
Yeah.
But they were so intent, they wanted to kill themselves.
Dang.
And then when they are brought in time, all we need to do is an antidote. So even I shoot the antidote and the patient comes alive. But if it is too late, then they're dead.
Yeah, because already it's gone through the blood and all stuff.
So I was thinking, what is God doing anything about this? If I don't shoot, then the patient dies. And if I shoot, the patient live. Am I God? Am I responsible for giving life? So that way, I lost faith in our beliefs. There are a few other things too, but these are the two most important things that happened in my life. So I said, no, I don't think so, that is God. And I became...
There is nobody in control of this material nature. How is it possible that I can put an injection, the guy live, I don't put the guy die, so it's my... I am having the power of life and death, like that, you were thinking.
That's right. And I became an atheist for a short while, for 6 months, I would say.
Okay.
And then as a student, I used to read the story of my experiments with truth by Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay.
And because the other turmoil was going on in my mind, I thought I would read the book again. And when I turned the pages and when Mahatma Gandhi, I don't know which chapter, but it talks about religion or something, and Gandhi was saying that how you should read the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita, yeah.
And he also says that Sir Edward, Sir Edwin Arnold, he says, you should read the Bhagavad Gita by this person. He was the first to translate into English and all that. So I was fascinated that Gandhi was my hero then. And he says, read the Bhagavad Gita. So I was looking for the Bhagavad Gita. You won't believe it. I searched high and low for months and I couldn't get a book. Even though there is Hindu libraries in my town, they have all kinds of stories, but there was no Bhagavad Gita. Finally, I got a Bhagavad Gita from the impersonal school, Chit Bhavananda's Bhagavad Gita. Mm. And I started reading it. And I was stunned because there was a complete different concept of the whole religion.
Like God is impersonal, you and God are one, and this and that. Yeah. It's all this strange philosophy.
But even then, even though it's all that is true, but still Krishna was established as the supreme. You could be... Because those who pray to me come to me, and those who pray to ghosts.
That's
and
what Krishna say.
So all those verses are there, and I knew that. So this was around. This is on my own search, in my own search.
Right.
And I thought, that. But I couldn't accept everything in the Gita.
Of course.
Then that was around 1981 or so. Then I started meeting devotees because the devotees had some relationship with my mother, who was a vegetarian. When they come to my town, they'll stay at home and cook and all that.
Nice.
So that way, then I got to touch with devotees. And then, of course, the early devotees, of course,
they were foreigner, right?
Bhakti
foreigners, devotees.
Foreigners. The first devotees that I met was Ram Charan Prabhu, and he's in UK.
Right.
And Janaki Mataji, his wife, they all are still in UK.
Yes.
This is all in the 1980s when they were preaching all over Malaysia.
Nice.
And then, of course, Bhakti Vrajendra Maharaj and Jananda Maharaj and Prabhavishnu Prabhu. Yes. So they were the early pioneers. Right. And then our local brahmacharis like Singheshwar Prabhu
and
Lokaswami and all they started. So with the association, I used to love the devotees because I gave my heart to Krishna. And, these are Krishna devotees, so I must take care of them, like that.
And they give you some book as well.
Oh, when we started. And initially, of course, when I read Prabhupada's books, I thought, this is too heavy, I said, how can you call everybody fools and rascals? This man doesn't know how to preach.
Right.
I thought like that.
He was too heavy,
But after some time, then you realize actually you're a fool and rascal because you're denying God. Yeah. That was my journey. And the best part was in 1986, it was a chance meeting with His Holiness Jayaprakash Goswami. They were traveling from Kuala Lumpur, which is south, and they're going up to North Penang, which most of you will know. And then they had to pass through my place. Though my place is actually out of the way, they wanted some kind of a lunch break.
Right.
So they came to my house. And first time, I've never heard of Guru Maharaj. First time I saw him and big, burly, and I said, who's this man? And that was my chance meeting with His Holiness Jayaprakash Goswami. And my whole life changed. In 1987, I organized the first Radha Yatra in Tilakintan, my town.
Nice.
I was not following any principles. It's all fascination for devotees and fascination for Jagannath. I said, I have to bring this festival to my town.
Good.
Like that,
So I think also that because you were a seeker of the truth, you were trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, but you got maybe the wrong book in the beginning, but whatever. But because I think the Lord knows when each soul is coming to the point to,
to want to know more about him. Then he's making the opportunity to meet the devotees, and everybody's life changed. So that's. But you were a doctor for many years also.
Yes.
Tell us, you practice in Malaysia and.
Yeah, though after my training in India, I came to Malaysia and I was posted in different parts of the country.
What type of doctor? You're a general doctor?
I'm a general doctor, yes. So I was working in the hospitals, and these experiences in the hospitals. And much later, I started my own private practice on my own. But religion has always been my interest. And when the doubts came, nobody could give me any proper answer. And then the Gita, of course, gave so many answers, which initially I could not understand. It took some time. Of course, the whole thing cleared up when I first met Guru Maharaj and the devotees, of course. Then so many of them, Bhanu Maharaj, and everybody was visiting in regularly. And it was growing in Malaysia.
But you think as a doctor, because you see many people dying, so you think, okay, now what's the difference between this dead body, a live body, and what is the soul? You can't see it. What's the story? Right?
That's an advantage, actually, because when you talk about birth, age, disease, death, we always say birth, age, disease. And as a doctor, you see that. You see birth, you see age, you see disease, you see death all the time. That's your job.
On a practical level, every day.
So it's an advantage. It may be a disadvantage also. For some people, they'll think that, oh, this religion is all just waste of time. But for me, it made a lot of sense.
Well, let me tell you, because I grew up in Italy, in the West. In Italy or in the West, you don't see any time dead body, unless there is some accident, but they cover it with a white sheet. So you never see people dying. So, you know, death is something far away. You never see anybody dying. And of course, sometimes your grandfather died. You go and see that. He's in the bed, but he's gone. Everybody says, it's gone. So you are like puzzled. Okay, what's the missing portion inside the body? What is the soul? We don't understand. And this has been obscure from the regular Western society to see old age people there somewhere, or they live with their relatives, or otherwise they're in some, you know, kind of institution where they take care of them. So you are like, you know, when you come to India, I came to India in 1977, and then we went to Benares, and you see burning body, and you say, what? What a shock, you know. And then you think, okay, I'm going to end up like this on the fire. So you get a lot of realization. And but as a doctor, I'm sure you have a lot of realization because you see a lot of suffering and people. So, but when you decide to come to Australia?
That was, my children came to study. I have a son and a daughter, and both of them also initiated by Guru Maharaj. So my son came first and then followed by my daughter. They were both studying here. And after studying, completing their studies, they did not want to come back to Malaysia. And they said, no, we want to stay here. Then I said, oh, now what we are going to do, you know? We'll be here, you'll be there. Alone. So they encouraged us, says, why don't you come to Australia?
Nice.
That was not part of the plan at all. I was just thinking of concentrating in hometown. Then that thing started, and then so finally we made the big move. So we came to Australia.
In which year it was when you came?
We came around 2004. Actually. 2003.
More than 20 years.
And the first time in Melbourne when I met Guru Maharaj, he gave me certain things to do.
Okay.
And he wanted me to organize certain things. And that time I was not working here. I actually given up. I didn't want to work anymore.
You were retired?
Retired.
Yeah.
Then what happened was certain circumstances. Then I thought if I can work, I can, you know, also get some money for preaching purposes and keep me occupied and all that. So anyway, then what happened was we had to sit for the Australian Medical Council exam. We passed the exam.
Because they don't recognize the Indian.
No, they're very strict here.
They're very strict. So you had to do another exam. Which you were prepared for?
Yeah, I mean, not really, but you know, when necessity is the mother of invention, you have to do it, you have to do it. So we went, my wife is also a doctor, Lokanandini, and so we both did it together and then started working for a while. And while we were doing that in Melbourne, we were actively involved in the services there. And then one day they called me and said that there is some issues in Adelaide. At that time I was in Melbourne.
Right.
There's some issues in Adelaide, and would you like to go and help out? And so I said, yeah, if you want me to do, then we can give it a go.
Try.
So we came here. The temple was having a lot of debts at the time. It was about $800,000.
How much?
$800,000.
Ooh.
And the whole place was, a bit of a mess. And so we sorted all that out. Now, of course, you can see we've got an extension, new big building coming up and all that.
Tell us about the extension, because I'm sure this is because the people come here. There is small space when you have festival. Mm-hmm. And I saw the extension you had done, which was very nice. We'll be ready by next year. Mm-hmm. And so the congregation loves this temple because you have also prasadam for them, going to the restaurant, and many preaching opportunities to people, mostly Indian, who are living around here. There's some Australian also as well, but mostly Indian, you know, when they are outside of their country, they get lost, kind of. They want to maintain their identity. But if they're fortunate, they come to our temple and then you connect them to the Lord. So tell us about this extension.
So before that, the biggest attraction in the temple is Radha Shyam Sundar.
Of course.
This most beautiful form. And many people have commented, Gol Govinda Maharaj, when he was here, he spent some time here. Mm. He loved the deity so much that he made a replica of this deities. Back in Gadagiri, same thing, exact size. And Indradimna Maharaj also has commented on the beauties of this thing. My Guru Maharaj, and so many people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Swami.
American Swami.
He loves this deities here so much. So anybody who comes here, takes a look at the deities, they're very fascinated and they always keep coming back.
Okay.
So this place, now I'll come to the extension. This temple actually was formerly, this whole place is the Roman Catholic area.
Right, yeah, there's many churches.
The St. Bridget's Church.
Right.
And the nuns are staying, opposite houses, the nuns are staying there. At one time, this is a place for the nuns.
Oh.
So there's a chapel where our temple hall is, that's a chapel.
That's a chapel, yes.
And where the restaurant is, they have a card room. The present restaurant is their card room.
Right.
And all the rooms, you see like pigeonholes upstairs.
Yeah.
All of them, the nuns.
Even this room where I'm staying, there's a box there. I can see, Mara said they used to keep their rosary for their prayers. We have similar type of monastery in Italy also, when we go and visit many ancient monasteries. Same room like this, one table, one chair, you know, and a small box. And people, they go every day to the service, whether they were priests or they were nuns, you know. Because this was a life of austerity for them, living separate from society and being provided with all the facility for them to be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, unfortunately, there is not many people who want to become priests or nuns.
Yeah.
In Italy especially, we have most of the priests, they're all from outside, Spain, France, America. There is no Italian priest anymore.
Okay.
Because I don't know why. I guess, there is not much spirituality. Although they have a school there for becoming a priest. But I guess it's difficult for people to choose this life unless they can feel in their heart a great pleasure and attraction for serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. But many of them are sincere. The difficulty with the Catholic church is that they eat meat, they drink wine, they smoke cigarettes. So how difficult it is for them to control their senses. We are following the four regulatory principles as devotees, and we find difficulty in remaining fixed in devotional service, controlling the mind and senses. But for them, it's even more difficult. But tell us, what was the most wonderful time in serving here as a temple president, and what were the challenges for you?
The initial challenge, like I said, was the heavy financial burden.
Yes.
And then, and firstly, it was thoroughly disorganized, so things were not moving. So we had to regulate everything and bring in young
pujaris. Reorganize everything.
And when we started improving everything, like a regular temple, then people started coming, our Sunday feasts are very popular, so more people started.
How many people come for Sunday feasts?
Well, nowadays you get about 300 people.
Nice,
you
know? Nice.
And when we first started, maybe 70, 80 people like that.
Right.
You know? During Janmashtami and all that, the queues go for 2-3 blocks.
Sure.
And usually it's winter, you know, winter raining, so people have to
still come.
We put a lot of tents to accommodate them, but still the crowd is too much. So in view of all that, then we decided that we have to, because the chapel hall, the temple is too small. And so now we have the new building that we're building is about 4 times the present hall.
So you can accommodate a few hundred people.
Yeah, easily. So that, you know, in case of the weather is bad or something, we can just shove them inside the temple hall itself.
Nice.
Or otherwise. Nice. But so then we launched on this, and of course we settled all these previous problems. Then I bought the house next door.
Hmm.
We bought the house.
Some devotees
are staying there. And then what's happening is now our devotees are buying up houses around here.
Nice.
So many houses
they
have
want
been
to
bought.
Be near the temple.
Near the temple. So that is happening. And one clear advantage we have is because it's zoned under religion.
Yes.
So
because nobody in church, nobody can say anything.
So religious practice, so we are not disturbed. So we don't have that problem. Even if you have a problem, it's very minimal. People parking the cars wrongly and stuff like that. Otherwise, you're allowed to practice religion here. No problem.
Nice, beautiful.
So then what is happening is now it is a necessity, you know, it's because of the crowds are increasing. And of course, Indian migration is also increasing. And so the challenges, other than that, big challenges means because we are dependent on and pujaris from India.
Mm, yes.
You know, so though we are initiating, second initiating and all that, altar service and all that, but still to do some massive cooking, the devotee is also doing.
Yes.
Some other responsibilities. So visa is a problem, not like those days, it was easy. Now they're putting...
We don't have a special visa for religious, a church.
We have, but 2 years plus 2 years.
That's all.
It's a temporary visa.
Oh, I see.
So that is the problem. But it's okay. We can, we're still doing it. Imagine, and more and more volunteers are coming in and doing a lot of things.
Yes.
So festivals, unfortunately, you won't be here. Otherwise,
for God Purnima.
God Purnima, you can see the crowds, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of volunteers, you know. So.
Nice.
So we have come a long way. And in fact, I remember many years ago, one Janmashtami, I went and invited all the Hindu temples in Adelaide to come for a program.
How many temples are there?
They have very small ones and one large one. The Ganesh temple is the big temple. Others are...
There's some Shiva temple, some Ganesh, some...
Balaji
temple is there, Balaji temple?
They are all small, but the BAPs, what do you call Swaminarayan?
Oh, Swaminarayan.
They have two, which is also quite fairly large. Anyway, when we invited for Janmashtami, they all came. Then there was nobody celebrating Janmashtami. ISKCON. So the whole town will come to our temple for Janmashtami. And these people came and they saw the crowds, Ganesh temple and all that. They saw the crowds.
Wow.
Said, we can do this? If these people can put Krishna and make some money, why don't we make some money? So they started.
Think about business.
So they started Janmashtami. And the first year after that, there was a drop in our crowd. And then I said, what happened? Suddenly, you know, then you tell you, they're all, everybody is celebrating now Janmashtami. Now, what happened is, though all that happened, but we have a program that goes on from 5 o'clock to past midnight and, you know, this
piece before, feast after, and stage show. We got the whole works.
Of course.
They don't know. They just decorate the deities.
Yes.
That's all they get. They just keep some deities and decorate.
We do the bhajan, we do the kirtan, we
That's
give
right.
the lecture.
We got everything.
Full package.
Full package. So what has happened now is they know that others may have a show, but the big show is in ISKCON.
Of course.
So now they still get the big crowds as usual. Mm-hmm. And maybe after coming here, they might go, you know, that may happen. But we have the crowds with us.
Nice. But you have a future expansion project, like after 10 years, maybe we need a bigger temple. I don't know. I'm just asking out of curiosity.
Yeah, it is possible. But our immediate thing is like, you know, to do some, you know, if we can,
yes.
you know, the next, we can do an extension there.
Yeah.
And, but here in this country, you can actually have farms.
Oh, okay.
If you have, it's easier to get a, you know, like 10 acres or 100 acres or 50 acres, it's...
Build a big pavilion, so have a festival there.
Yeah, we can have something like that, not too far away in the hills or something.
Nice.
That'll be good. Then we don't have to worry about so many things, you know.
Because there's plenty of land available.
Yeah, plenty of land is available.
Australia is a big country.
Just go a little bit, say 10 kilometers out of the city, it's not very expensive,
sure.
you know. So that is... So we're having some ideas like that because the city is so this will still remain.
Of course, of course.
But we have to do something in the long
nice,
term.
Nice, that's a nice project. So apart from this challenge, what was your most wonderful time you had here in Adelaide while you were serving for so many years? Now tell us some of the people you met or some of the beautiful things you had. Really give pleasure to your heart.
Now, talking about challenges, I must talk about this one.
Sure.
Because this is in Malaysia.
Okay.
That was a bigger challenge. I'll finish with the bigger challenge in Malaysia and come to this challenge.
As you wish.
And Guru Maharaj used to come every year for our Radha Yatra. And then one day, one Radha Yatra, when we were traveling, he showed me in the car, he showed me, you should buy land here. This is in Telukantan in Malaysia. I looked at the place where he showed the land. I said, because we're hardly anybody. We're not even two, three people. We're organizing Radha Yatra, but nobody there.
Right.
And there is no funds, no money, nothing. And I am looking, you know, this place will cost few, I mean, I'm talking about bring it Malaysia at that time.
That time.
80s. Few hundred thousand. Where's
the money?
Nothing, you know. And I was thinking, no, this is not going to happen. But I didn't say anything. Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, this is very expensive and all that. He didn't say anything. Then later, I bought a land. No, bought a land, smaller, cheaper and all that. Different place. So, but when we submitted plans and all, it was rejected. Because the, you know, Malaysia is a very, it's like a Muslim government.
Yes.
So, they're very, very strict about anything you do, like temples and all that. So, they, and the diagram I had was like Navdeep's trial with 9 domes and all that.
Wow.
So, it's rejected. And so, finally, we sold the land. And then we bought the land. There suddenly, this happened. All, I don't know how it happened. Somebody came and told me that that land. That same, that's where Guru Maharaj showed directions.
The said,
you must buy here.
Wow.
That same land came to us, and 1.5 acres, and it was 500,000. But still, by then our congregation had been, and we already had funds, and so we were, and then we sold that land. We sold for a profit, and then we bought that, you know, 1.5 acre land. Though we bought the land, and then now the building construction was a big problem. I tried so many ways, seeing ministers, whatnot, trying to get the approval. So finally, what we did was we built a big, massive mansion, like a house, saying that it's
our a house.
And then when everything was approved, then we just modified it. And we had the, you know, that was in the, it's around the year 2000 or 2001 when the massive opening. So that was a big challenge and this constant battle with the government.
Yes.
And you know, finally, we somehow just sneaked our way through. And so we put, we have deities, the Gornithai deities. Sri Sri Dayal Nithai Gaurang Hari. That is Guru Maharaj named
the name.
And so they are there very nicely. Prabhupada actually had come to my town
There are four places he visited in Malaysia, and one is my town. My town is a very obscure town out of... But Prabhupada had come there and stayed one night. So we knew something will happen here, we just have to be patient. And something did happen. So that was Malaysia. Here, the thing was, initially there was no proper preaching. The thing was not going. So the preaching wasn't there. The festivals were poorly organized. There was acute shortage of funds. No funds because everything was broke.
The big debt.
When we were having some function, suddenly the electricity board came and
cut off
the electricity.
Oh my God.
I said, what's happening? He said, didn't pay bill. So, we were at that level at that time. So, and I was working. I was pumping, by God, Krishna's mercy, I was allowed to work and give some money and all that. But everything changed. And within about 3 years, there was order. Everything was being done properly. And the crowd started increasing from, more and more people, and people started appreciating and like that. And then the challenge was, of course, too much people, even like a Sunday feast, for instance, they can't get into the hall. So the halls are packed, outside is packed. They can't get in to see the deities. So then we had to think of something bigger. And that's why this plan to put up this extension, yes.
Beautiful.
With blessings from Guru Maharaj. When I got the plans, we took it to Mayapur and gave it to Guru Maharaj and showed it.
So we can say that in the course of your life, your faith in the Lord increased, because they say, man proposed, God disposed. So we have a plan A, B, C, D, and Guru Maharaj tell you to do something, and Prabhupada was there. How everything, certain point, manifest.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So then your faith in your heart is... now firmly fixed that whatever has to happen will happen by the blessing of the Lord, and we are just His servant, and we are just trying to do our level best.
We don't
wonderful.
Understand God because of ignorance, but association with devotees, devotion is the biggest thing for me, especially Guru Maharaj, how completely we have lost ourselves in His hands, that is amazing, yes. That is one spiritual journey from one end to another. And subsequently, I was the first to start doing this. And then my first student was my wife. And then I started preaching to my sisters and brothers and all that.
Nice.
And they all became devotees. And then my parents, of course, my parents was difficult. My mother was easy. She was a vegetarian long time. And
pious woman.
She was very pious, and she used to cook for all the sannyasis, so many of Bhakti Vrindavan Maharaj loves to come in, because she will cook the Sri Lankan Tamil style, she will cook. So, so Bhakti Chara Swami.
Nice.
And all that, everybody used to come in. So she was... My father was he's a very staunch Hindu, but he will say everything's one same, that way. Then I had to tell him, no, the scriptures are saying differently.
Chatamatta tupat, whatever way you go, to bet God at whatever way you take.
So from early, my father was a prominent person in town, so whenever sannyasis come, they will come to my house. So we were all influenced like that, and he was influenced like that.
Naturally.
He had a sannyasi friend. Only people in Malaysia might know. Satyananda. Swami Satyananda. There is a Pure Life Society in Kuala Lumpur. Mm. An orphanage. And father used to donate a lot of money
For the children. Oh, nice art. Yeah,
so,
good.
So he was influenced by so many of these Mayavadi sannyasis. And so, and then finally, they all both got initiated.
Nice.
I said, you must chant, and they met. Of course, the Guru Maharaj was the key figure.
Very attractive person.
They were so,
charismatic person.
Yeah,
and of course, you as a becoming devotee, they say 21 generation before and after, you are the person who introduced everybody to Krishna consciousness. So they'll all have opportunity to associate with devotee and do devotional service. So that's a great responsibility.
Right now, that we have four grandchildren. Nice. It's a pity, yes. But you know, all of them can read the Bhagavad Gita. This I used to tell them. I only got the book when I was almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And yes, so I want you. I mean, my eldest grandson is about 10, 12 years. You give him a Bhagavad Gita, he can read, he can sit and give a class.
If you tell him something, he say, no, I'll tell you. Right? He say, I know this.
So nice. That way, I think they are fortunate because we have to give the spiritual knowledge, just not absolutely material knowledge. Absolutely. Otherwise, it's wasted. Everything is wasted.
So that is wonderful. Any other things you like to share with a listener of Radio Mayapur? Or is there a message you like to give to them?
The message is, it's what Prabhupada said, that the whole world is suffering and, you know, Krishna consciousness can actually save them. Yes. And we devotees should understand the importance of this and should cooperate more, and not at the slightest thing, you know, find faults with each other and all that. And we are, because we are missing the larger picture of giving this knowledge to others.
Yes, that's very important.
Otherwise, we'll be over small things. We'll be bickering over small things.
Yeah,
and forgetting our mission.
Correct.
That is a thing. We feel
sometimes,
so much.
Sometimes they do forget the mission and they get into quarrel for small things. Actually,
yeah, that's right.
Which are not very palatable or very important. But I think everybody has to work on himself. It's like Jesus says, it's very easy to see the small grass in somebody's eyes, but you don't see your big trunk in your own eyes. So it's like it's easy to find fault with others. But, we should remain always humble and meek and think and appreciate everybody, because, there are different levels of devotees.
Yeah.
So we should appreciate everybody who is trying to serve the Lord. Not trying to find fault, because let's assist everybody to grow spiritually and feel comfortable to come to the temple and learn Krishna consciousness. They maybe live outside, they study, they work, no problem. There is no restriction. So main thing is the temple is a source of spiritual enlightenment. So people can come, learn, and then their life will change and they become a better person. And they themselves can uplift so many other people. So that's how the movement will spread. And there is a desire of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam, he said, this is my desire that preaching will go on all over the world. So I'm very thankful for you to come today and spend some of your valuable time with us. And please do come and visit Mayapur and spend more time with us. And tell your friend and devotees about Radio Mayapur, because it's 24-hour people can tune in their mobile while they work in the office or drive car or they're cleaning their house. This is a platform by which people can hear 24-hour Kirtaniya Sadahari. So you can hear all the bhajan 24-hour and all the podcasts we do with all the devotees, which is enlightening. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you for having me. Hare Krishna.
It's a great pleasure. Hare Krishna.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.